Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, February 20th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. Today's show is being brought to you by abookin90days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Recovering from Loss, with my guest, author Judy Brizendine. Welcome to all of you, my listeners. I want to let you know that whether you're listening live on the phone or perhaps you're over there on the website, you're in the chat room, some of you, and then some of you are listening to the show from our archives. In any case, I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell others about it who can benefit. Thanks to modern technology, it's very easy to do that. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, right under my photo, you will see several ways to keep up with the show. If you click the follow button, you will get an announcement and a reminder in your email each week of each episode. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it. We talk about all those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode is Recovering from Loss, with my guest, Judy Brizendine, a business professional who has worn many hats over the years. She earned degrees in business and interior design and has held respected positions in both. Writing and research always played key roles in her professional life, regardless of her position. So when she decided to make a career shift several years ago, following a major life change, writing was a natural transition. Her husband's sudden death in 1998 and the grief that followed changed the direction and perspective of her life. After years of research, working through the challenges of her own grief experience, and co-facilitating grief support workshops, Judy took the insights she gained and she wrote Stunned by Grief, a frank, personal look inside grief and its companion book, Stunned by Grief Journal. Released in October 2011, both books were named award finalists in the USA Best Books of 2011 awards for their respective categories, self-help, general and self-help journals, and quotes. Stunned by Grief was also named the Library Journal's Best Books of 2011 in the self-help category. Judy remarried in 2002, and she and her husband are committed to changing the way people view grief, educating them about how to deal with loss in a healthy way, and bringing hope to those who are hurting from loss. Their mission is to meet you where you are and connect with you in such a way that you will know you can walk through grief and discover a new sense of hope and direction. Their ultimate goal is to set up a nonprofit foundation with a percentage of earnings from the book and come together with other organizations to help victims of disasters and people who are facing all types of loss. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Judy Brizendine. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Flora. Good morning. It's so nice to be with you. And
thank
I'm so
you.
Honored to have the opportunity to share about a topic that's so close to my heart.
Yes, and it's certainly close to all of our hearts because at some point, we are going to experience this, whether it's now or later, it will happen. So why don't we start with you sharing with us your motivation for writing the Stunned by Grief books?
Well, when my husband died in 1998, I was caught completely off guard. He he died unexpectedly while on a mountain bike ride. And after this happened, I knew absolutely nothing about grief. I was thrown head first into it. I didn't understand it. There were things that I was feeling and experiencing and thinking that were so foreign to who I was that I really didn't even know if what I was feeling was normal. Mm-hmm. And so after years of working through my own grief experience and then facilitating the grief support groups and coming into contact with so many people and their experiences, I really wanted to give back and to write a book that could help other people find an easier way than I did to get through grief. And I wanted to really give a realistic perspective about grief to let people know what to expect, because I didn't know.
Well, and I want to commend you. I want to, just for a moment, I want to commend you for doing that, because so many of us go through things in our lives and we manage to get through them somehow, but we don't all take the time and the care to sit down and chronicle what we went through and then give a guide to someone else who's going to experience the same thing. So I want to commend you for doing that.
Well, thank you very much. I just know what a struggle it was for me, and I felt it. It would be a shame to take all the things that I had learned and not pass those things along so that other people wouldn't have to struggle the way I did. And I was as transparent as I could be, because I wanted to empower grievers with the tools they need to work through this more steadily and surely toward healing. I wanted to encourage them, because so oftentimes when you're in the middle of this, you're so discouraged and you wonder, you know, how in the world am I going to get through this? Is there life after grief? And there is. You know, there really is hope. And when I couldn't believe that yet for myself, I really grasped on to the hope that I got from others who had been through it and thought, you know, if they can get through this, I can get through it too. And I think it's important to share those hopeful stories with people so that they understand, yes, you know, if they can do it, I can do it too. And then finally, I really wanted to share about the hope and the blessings that can come through working through grief. And I know, you know, if you're going through grief right now and you're in the middle of it, you're probably thinking, what in the world is she talking about? What kind of blessing is there that comes out of grief? But right. I can assure you there really and truly are. And I wanted to share that with people too.
That's wonderful. Well, one thing is for sure, that change is certain. All of us are going to face some kind of loss. It may have nothing to do with death, although we're going to experience that too if we live long enough. But how do we handle loss in a healthy way, regardless of which type of loss it is?
Well, first and foremost, the most important thing that you can do is to decide to step into the grieving process. Mm. And again, you know, you may be thinking, again, what is she talking about? What do you have to decide? Initially, when I was first faced with grief, I had so many misunderstandings about it. You know, I thought you're in the middle of grief. You just, you know, take the time. After a while, it'll just take care of itself. You know, I didn't realize that I had to do anything, because we all hear this phrase, time heals all wounds, and, you know, it's just a matter of time. And I didn't realize that I had a part to play, that it didn't just happen to me. You know, it's not like some other sickness where, and I'm not saying this is a sickness, but when you're sick, you know, you take medicine, you get well, and you go on. Grief is not like that. You really have a part to play in your in the grieving process to get well. And I think there are, and let me just back up a minute, because at first, your grief is all-consuming. That's all you can think about. The pain is overwhelming. You're in a state of shock and numbness, and that's really all you can think about at the time. And that's a good thing, because that shock and numbness enable you to get through those first days and weeks and continue to function, where if you were taking in everything at once, it would just be way too much. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing. But once that shock and numbness start to wear off, that's when you'll have to make a choice about what you're going to do. Are you going to face your loss, or are you going to try to push it aside and not? But there are four concrete things that you can do to actually start coping with your loss. And I'd like to just share briefly about those. The four things are to talk, to journal, to read, and to join a group. And I'll just briefly talk a little bit about each one, if that's okay.
Sure, sure.
It's really important to talk about what's happened, to talk about your loss, to talk about your feelings, to bring things out into the open, because it's kind of like the way fear is. When you're afraid of something and you keep it buried inside and you don't talk about it, it just grows larger. And, you know, the more you think about it, it becomes this bigger monster than it is. Well, talking brings things out into the open, and so once you've said them, once they're out there, they're less overwhelming. Plus, you have the support and the interaction with the person that you're talking to, and so you feel their compassion, and there's that back-and-forth support. So talking is important. I can't emphasize enough how powerful a tool journaling is. And you don't have to be a writer. You don't have to just start writing. You know, really journaling is pouring your heart out onto paper. That's really all it is. Just start writing about what's on your heart, what you're worried about, what you're afraid of, what you're angry about. The questions you have, you know, just whatever's going on in your head and your heart, just get it out there on paper. And again, there's something about seeing those things in concrete, whether it's talking or seeing what you've written on paper, that brings you face to face with it. And when you do that, you really are coping with your loss. Mm-hmm. You can't deny those things anymore. They're out there. And so you'll be amazed at what you see. You'll find yourself answering your own questions. You'll see a progression of where you started and where you're going. And you'll really see that you are moving forward. And that's very encouraging when you can look back and see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is to read. Select some grief books that you can relate to, so that you can learn what's happening to you. And that's so important, because so oftentimes people who are grieving think that they're all alone. They think that what they're feeling is different from what, you know, everybody else is feeling, and they wonder if they're normal. Mm-hmm. And reading about grief can help you to really know that you're not alone, that you'll see that others have made it through. It'll give you a sense of hope. There's just so many things that, you know, that can be helpful about reading. And the last thing, if you can, find a group to join a group, because you'll be with others who truly understand, because they're grieving too. You'll know you're not alone. You'll see that, you know, what you're feeling is not unusual. And there's just, and you can learn from other people, because there may be somebody else in the group who is a few weeks ahead of where you are, you know, and they'll say, I was where you were a few weeks ago, and, you know, this is what I've learned, and this is where I am. And it just helps you to get a sense of community and just to be in a place where people really understand what you're going through. You know, cry if you need to cry. And that's another thing. Don't be afraid to experience those feelings. You know, cry. Mm-hmm. Let those emotions out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that's the way that you'll get to a place of healing.
Wow. I want to just repeat those four steps or four ways that we can handle loss, and whether it's grieving over the death of someone or grieving over many of the things that happen to us. The four steps you shared with us, first, talk. And that the purpose of that is to bring it out in the open so it doesn't become this big monster. And many times we make it so much bigger than it really is when we don't bring it out.
Yes.
And, of course, that encourages interaction with whomever you're speaking to. Then
yes.
Second, you said to journal, where we get an opportunity. In a way, this is talking also, but this is writing it down where only you are reading these thoughts, and you can just say whatever you want, pour your heart out in a journal, on paper, whatever way. Of course, you have a journal that accompanies your book that makes that easy for the readers. And then third, you encourage us to read, because whatever we're going through, it's very likely that someone else has gone through it. And by reading about what others have gone through, it helps to dispel the myth that we're alone, and it also dispels the myth that what we're going through is somehow or another weird or different. And then fourth, you encourage us to join a group. If possible, join with others who are having similar experiences. And we know that there are many groups out there, and the Internet makes it easy to find the groups who are going through the same pain you're going through. By talking and interacting with them, you get to see how they've handled that pain, that loss, and it helps you to be able to see that you can do it too.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Yes. So true.
Yeah. I want to take a moment before we go on to have you tell listeners how they can contact you to learn more about your book, about your journal, and I know you have a lot of projects coming down the pike that are going to be exciting. So tell listeners the best way to reach you.
The best way to reach me is to go to our website, and the website is www.stunnedbygrief.com, and that's stunnedbygrief.com.
Okay.
And there are a couple ways on the website that they can contact me. They can either fill out the guest form or actually send me an email through the site. But my email address, I'll just give it out real quickly, is the letter J, the letter B as in boy, R, I, Z as in zebra, at stunnedbygrief.com.
Okay.
And just to let them know, on the website there are a number of excerpts from the book and the journal that they can take a look at, and
okay.
there are some other resources too, and I do try to change those fairly often so that the material on there is new. And there is a blog where I write about issues and questions and concerns that people have about grief.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Judy. So I'm going to repeat the website, because once they get to the website, they'll be able to get to the other things as well. The website is at www.stunnedbygrief.com, and that's Stunned by Grief is continuous, no breaks.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having that information available.
You're welcome.
Because I can tell you that, excuse me, from my own experience, sometimes when some loss takes place or we're in pain, it's the middle of the night, we don't want to call anybody, we don't want to worry anybody, and being able to go to a site, go to the web, to the internet and search, or go to a given site and get some consolation is a big help. I've experienced that in my life.
I have too.
Yeah, so that's great. Thank you. I want to move on to talk about the fact that people tend to avoid grief. And they hesitate to talk about it, much less think about it, unless they have to. And I was reading your book this morning where you were talking about people tend to not want to even say anything to you about it, so for fear that talking to you about grief is somehow contagious, and somehow or another it's going to affect them. So everybody's tiptoeing on these eggshells, not wanting to do anything or say anything, and of course the first tip you gave was talk. So you say that grief is hopeful. Can you explain how grief could possibly be hopeful?
I know. You read that and you think, what in the world is she talking about? You know, unfortunately, as much as we try to avoid grief, each one of us will have to face it because loss is just part of life. And grieving, the process of grieving, is the way we get from pain to a healthy, happy life again. So grieving helps us to let go of the bad things that have happened. It heals and restores. It renews us. Grieving allows us to bring closure to things that have happened to us. It's really what we need to do to let go of something or someone that we no longer have. Mm-hmm. So grief is our passageway from pain to healing. And for me, that's why I say grief is hopeful. It is the way, mm-hmm. you know, to get from this place of pain to a place of healing where we are able to release the pain and re-embrace life and people and relationships. Mm-hmm. If we don't, we have to grieve to be happy again. So, mm-hmm. you know, it is... to me, if that's not hope, I don't know what is.
Well, what's so sad that some of us go through this feeling of not wanting to go through grief because we don't want to have that pain. And yet, as you pointed out, it's the pathway. It's the way to get to back to wellness, back to feeling good, back to happiness. And ungrieved loss, if we choose to not grieve, that in itself is harmful, and that can steal our lives away for sure. So tell us how unresolved pain is detrimental.
Ungrieved loss does not go away. You know, grief will not just go away on its own. It's like, you know, what I thought in the beginning, well, you know, if I just wait and, you know, eventually this will just go away and I'll be back to normal. That's not the way it works. Grief affects every single area of your life. It affects you mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. So if there's something that affects every single area of your life and you don't take care of it, it's going to show up in some way. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, unresolved grief is the root of problems people face in they don't even connect it back to grief. Now, I'm not saying that all of these issues are always connected to grief because that wouldn't be true. But oftentimes people face relationship issues, addictions, depression, some physical ailments, and they can be tied back to grief. And people try to cover up their pain all the time with, you know, so many things, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, spending money. You know, there are a million and one ways that people choose to try to cover up their pain. But, you know, it just doesn't work. You have to keep feeding that monster because it doesn't go away. And so you're never reaching the root cause of what the problem is. So you're not taking care of it. Until you make a decision to meet the pain head on and allow yourself to feel it, to step into this grieving process, you'll stay wounded and you'll hurt other people around you and continue to live in an unhealthy, unhappy way.
That's what someone was sharing with me, that they were watching the television show Hoarders.
Yes.
And I don't watch that show, but... they were sharing that the, I guess it was the narrator, was able to trace this woman's hoarding back to when her two children died.
Well, nobody had
made that. You saw that one?
I saw the preview for that. I didn't see the show.
Okay. Yes, but yes,
he did. He asked her when the hoarding started, and she said it started right after her two children died. Mm-hmm. And he said, how long ago was that? And she said 18 years.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And the fact that is what she brought up, you know,
yes.
as when she thought of when the hoarding started, that's what came to mind. Mm-hmm. To me, that just seems like a classic case of unresolved grief.
Yes, yes. And it's so sad because the pain just gets covered over. It just keeps getting covered over with whatever we're using to cover it, instead of, as you pointed out, stepping into the grief.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is going to hurt, but letting it hurt and working our way through it, mm-hmm. is the only way to get through it, is to go through it.
Right. And otherwise you just stay trapped in that place that of pain that you don't know how to escape from.
Don't know how to get out of it. That brings me to the concept. You have in your book this concept called remapping. Could you help explain briefly what remapping is in the grieving process?
Well, I use remapping to describe this whole process of moving full circle from loss to fully living again. There are six key elements. I'll just name them real quickly, and then I'll say a brief statement about them. The six elements are time, feelings, acceptance, release, renewal, and support. That's time, feelings, acceptance, release, renewal, and support. And just to briefly touch on those, time, remapping is a process that takes place over time. It doesn't happen instantly. It's a process. And you have to give it the time it takes. That time varies for each person and each circumstance because every situation and every person is different.
Mm-hmm.
As for feelings, to heal the pain, you have to let yourself feel the emotions. You have to allow yourself to cry and feel whatever it is you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptance, eventually you have to be able to accept your new reality. You know, something has happened, you can't change it. And eventually you'll come to the place where you'll be able to accept that new reality and to release your loved one or your loss. And that doesn't mean forgetting. It doesn't mean forgetting your loved one or no longer loving them, because they'll always be a part of your life, even though they're no longer with you right now. So some people get afraid that, you know, if they release their loved one, that, you know, they're not going to think about them anymore. They're going to forget about them. No, that's not to worry. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Renewal. As the healing progresses, you'll be able to reopen your heart and fully live and love again. This doesn't happen at once. It happens gradually. I think a lot of times our heart shuts down when something like this happens, because whether it's self, you know, protection or whatever it is, we just kind of shut down. And eventually, as healing progresses, you'll be able to reopen your heart to experience life and love again. And the last thing is support, because this is not a Lone Ranger process. You know, it's too hard to do all by yourself. You need the support of at least one person to stand with you, who's willing to listen and let you talk when you need to talk, who will lift you up when you fall, who will encourage you when you're down. Just, you know, you need at least one person you trust who will be there for you.
Right. Yes, and especially one person who's not going to be an enabler for you to try to cover over, because when you were talking about feeling, allowing yourself to feel your feelings, that's a big problem for people when they try to, they just want to hurry up and get over the feelings, so they cover it with alcohol or drugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you have someone in your life who's enabling you to do that cover over, then that's not the right person to give you support.
That's right. True. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, this has been fantastic. We're at the end of the day's show already, would you believe? And I want to encourage listeners to share this show with others. It will be available in the archives right after the show is over. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown and listen to it again. Judy, thank you so much for being my guest. I've enjoyed listening to you and learning from you. Thank you for making time to come to the
Flora,
show.
Thank you. so much for inviting me. I feel honored that you did, and I'm so happy to have been able to share with your listeners. So thank you so much.
I want to invite everyone back next Monday, February 27th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another informative, exciting, enlightening show. I'm Flora Brown coming to you from Anaheim, California, and I want to remind you to have a blessed week and remember to color your life happy.